Bow your heads with me, please. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you as we celebrate 25 years of ministry and of service. We thank you because we know that through it all, you have made it possible. Thank you for the manservant of this house. Thank you for having raised him up at a time such as this. Because you knew that in his heart of hearts, when you called upon him, he would say, "Yes, Lord." Thank you for his wife that has stood by his side all of these years to encourage him, to continue to inspire him, to be there to hear his groans as well as his laughter. Thank you for her. Continue to bless and to strengthen her. Thank you for everyone that stands around this man of God. And your word reminds us that it does not yet appear what shall be. For we know that we shall be like you when we see you as you are. We pray now, O Lord, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon that which you have purposed in our hearts to share with this waiting congregation. We pray, O God, that you would send the kind of anointing that makes preaching easy. For we realize that we are living in perilous times and the adversary does anything and everything that he possibly can to hinder the word of God from going forth. We thank you as we yield ourselves. Think through my mind, O God, speak through my lips. Set my heart on fire once more. And as always, we shall give unto you the glory, the praise, and the honor through Christ our Lord, we ask. And everyone that agreed said, Amen. I think sometimes that my homiletic and hermeneutical skills are falling by the wayside because I really don't have a title. Well, that's not totally true. But the kind of title that I would want to share, I don't have. And so I will just give it to you as I heard it in my heart. Back to work. Back to work. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Back to work. Turn around and find somebody else and tell them, neighbor, back to work. We have been celebrating 25 years of what God has done. It is like unto the Acts of the Apostles, if you will. For indeed, that particular writing by Luke, the beloved physician, would be more aptly titled the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. The Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. It wasn't the apostles all by themselves, but rather it was the Holy Spirit working through them that caused them to do exploits whereof we continue to study and we use as examples in our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share with you out of the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and actually I only have two verses, but you all sounded so good as you were doing your responsive reading. Paul comes to this portion of his writing, and he says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And I want to camp right there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, if you skip down to this verse that says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked or the wicked one. Paul wrote this particular letter from a jail cell. It is one of what some theologians would call his prison epistles or his prison letters. Anyone who knows anything about incarceration knows that it is not the desired lifestyle. Because when you've been used to being free, to suddenly be put in a cage is a demoralizing experience. I used to do prison ministry, and I used to go and I used to visit prisoners who were inflicted with HIV and AIDS. And every time I would go to the prison, I would dread going there because it seems as though it was a place that was set up for that which was less than humankind. Great big iron doors clanging shut. And one time I got my hand caught and it nearly peeled off the skin. And I had to holler at the guard who was way up high looking down through a door with a shotgun cocked and ready to shoot if I were to act out of the ordinary. It's not the place to be. Barbed wire all over the place. Didn't like it whatsoever. And the Apostle Paul writes from conditions that could be considered worse than this. For the prison conditions in ancient Rome, where Paul was put into captivity, were conditions that no one would ever want to experience. Squalor, germs, mold, mildew, dampness. In some situations, even the rodents wouldn't stay there. And in cases where they stayed, they would begin to gnaw upon the flesh of those who were incarcerated. There were no lights whatsoever. People were in darkness all the time, except when the jail keepers would bring a flaming torch to check and to see if the prisoners were still alive. Because oftentimes, because of the rancid conditions, there were those who would die. And even though they died, their carcasses would not be removed. And they would stay there and many times decay until a jailer came and removed them. Paul was in prison in Rome. And he writes to the church at Ephesus. Now, Paul was no ordinary prisoner. Because you see, Paul, because he had found favor with the guards and found favor with those who attended him, he had more freedom and more latitude than the majority of those who were in prison with him. Paul got to get up, Paul got to walk around, Paul got to go outside and look at the sunshine, and he got to talk to people and interact with people, but he still had to go back to his cell because he was in jail. Paul used to have visitors like Luke, the beloved physician. Luke would come and Luke would listen to what Paul had to say, and he would write down Paul's letters for him. And then he would take them back to wherever it was that Paul wanted them to go. That's why oftentimes when you read the book of Acts and you see where Luke writes, and then Paul did this, and then Paul did that, and then Paul did the other. Paul journeyed here, Paul journeyed there. And then all of a sudden the language changes and said, and then we went, and then we saw, and then we did, and then we heard. Because Luke was there as a first-hand person to experience what God was doing. So Paul writes this word to the church at Ephesus, a church that he had started several years prior. And he took Priscilla and Aquila along with him. so that they could establish churches in Ephesus. And the Ephesians wanted Paul to stay, but Paul was not constrained to stay. He was constrained by the Spirit to move someplace else, but he left Priscilla and Aquila behind to build the church of Jesus Christ. And while they were there, they ran upon one known as Apollos. Apollos was a convert of John the Baptist, and he was one that was schooled in the Old Testament, and he was one that was raised in the ministry and the belief of repentance. And he was busy preaching the gospel of John, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they were impressed by him, but then the word says they had to take him aside. Y'all didn't get that. They had to take him aside. Because you see, sometimes there are folk who are talented and folk who are schooled and folk who are scholarly, but they don't have the whole truth. And sometimes you just got to take him aside. And so they took Apollos aside and they began to talk to him. And it came to pass that Apollos really didn't know about Jesus. And he really didn't know what Jesus had done. He didn't know about the new life that was offered to every believer, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And when they took Apollos aside, and they began to talk to him, Apollos would do like we would do. He began to understand in a deeper way. And I believe that he would have agreed with John Newton, who said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." I see. I see. Paul writes this letter to the Ephesian church after he had gone away and come back and then spent 3 years and then went away once more and finds himself in jail. Not for doing anything wrong. He didn't rob anybody, didn't steal, didn't do anything that would be worthy of imprisonment, but because of Jesus. Y'all didn't catch that. Because of Jesus, Paul finds himself in a jail cell. Oh, Lord. Let me warn you real quick. I don't have, you know, the notes and the so forth. And this is really off the rail. But I was just quickened by the Holy Spirit to tell Solid Rock, new level, new devil. Because you're going to a new level. You're going to a new level in Jesus. What you're seeing right now is just a precursor to what God already has in store for you as he lifts you to higher heights. And I'm not just saying that to make you feel good or get you excited. I can see it in the spirit. And God has a place for you that's higher than where you are. But with that will also come persecution. With that will also come new challenges. And my daughter loves to say, new level, new devil. Amen. You may find yourself persecuted for the sake of Jesus Christ. You may find yourself castigated for the cause of Christ Jesus the Lord. You may find yourself in prison because, you see, it's getting harder and harder to preach Jesus. And it's getting harder and harder to be a representative of the Lord God, strong and mighty. The Lord God, mighty in battle. Now, I'm going to get way off the rail. I had to speak somewhere not long ago. As a matter of fact, it was yesterday morning. And I began to try to read. I began to try to acclimate my mind because I'm always trying to make sure that the Lord uses me to speak specifically to those who are in the congregation. And so I begin to open up commentaries that I find online. And it amazed me how people have departed from the faith. People don't want to call the name of Jesus no more. They don't even want to talk about God hardly no more. God has been replaced by being called the Creator. And yes, I know that he is that, but he is so much more. Folk don't want to call on the name of Jesus, and folk don't want to say that they're saved anymore. Now they're spiritual. Are y'all still here? They're spiritual. Well, that can mean all kind of stuff. Because you see, God is not the only spirit that's in the spirit realm. Are you listening to me? And people can say, well, I'm spiritual. But my question immediately is, what spirit is talking to you? What spirit is guiding you? What spirit is motivating you? What spirit? There are millions. There are billions of spirits out there. Are you listening to me? Folk don't want to talk about God anymore. They don't want to talk about Jehovah. They don't want to talk about Yahweh. They don't want to talk about Yahuwah. They don't want to talk about Elohim. They don't want to talk about Adonai. They don't want to talk about the unchanging, immutable, all-powerful, almighty, everlasting and all-sufficient God. They don't want to talk about I am. I am that I am. I am who I am, and I will be who I will be. Folk don't want to hear that no more. Ephesians is a prison epistle. It is also not a personal epistle. It is not like the ones that he wrote to Timothy, his last letters, where he pours his heart out into a young preacher. Oh, you can see the love that he has for Timothy. He says, I know about you because I knew your mama and I knew your grandmama too. And I am constrained, and I believe that the same grace that was on them is on you too. And also by the laying on of my hands. That was a personal letter where he says to Timothy, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men will be lovers of self rather than lovers of God. Ever seeking and never embracing or learning the truth. It's not a personal epistle. And it's not a problem-solving epistle. Amen. If you got problems, you're not really going to find step-by-step answers to your problems. It's not made for that. Let me go on. Paul doesn't really do a whole lot of teaching in this particular epistle. And then also, he does not seek to meet needs. You know, people have needs all the time. We're really, really needy. But Paul is not trying to address that. He's not preaching. He's not teaching. He's not trying to dispense with a whole lot of information. But what he is doing is seeking to take the attention of the Ephesians off of man and to redirect it back to God. Are y'all still here? Paul is seeking to remind the Ephesians that they need to be more God-focused than man-focused. Hallelujah. I would submit that there are some churches that need to reread Ephesians. There are some pastors that need to reread Ephesians. Not my friend, but there are some pastors out there that need to reread Ephesians because there has been so much attention and focus placed upon the man. And God is not getting the glory. Are you all still here? We got superstars in the pulpit. We got superstars in the choir loft. We got superstars on the instruments of music. We got superstars all over the place. And people find that when they hear those who are set up in various areas of so-called ministry, that they tickle the emotions. But you can have your emotions tickled all the time, and you can get up and jump and shout and dance and run around the sanctuary until you have exhausted yourself. But let me tell you something, emotion will only go but so far. Now, I'm not saying that we ought not have emotions, because when God created us, He created us in His image and after His likeness. And I know that God has emotions. The word that I read tells me that God laughs. The word that I read tells me that God is grieved. The word that I read tells me that God gets mad sometimes. The word that I read tells me that sometimes God gets fed up. God says, I am the Lord. I change not. And every once in a while, I'll go back and I'll dig out the Ten Commandments, because part of my background is the Methodist Episcopal Church. And they've changed a lot too. But I remember back in the day, we used to recite or sing what is called the Decalogue, which is a rendition of the Ten Commandments. And the first commandment says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not carve out any graven images. You shall not fall down and worship them. Don't make any images of anything that is in heaven, in the earth, or under the earth, or in the sea. Why? For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Oh, y'all got quiet there. I am a jealous God. In other words, God, can I put it this way, ain't gonna share the stage with nobody. It's God and it's God alone. You can't put anything else up there with Him. He doesn't allow us to divert our attention to anything that He has made, because it all belongs to Him. And if it belongs to Him, then that means that everything is subservient to Him as well. Let me move on here. God is jealous, and Paul is telling us that we need to take our focus off of men. Now, I'm not saying don't celebrate talent. You know, I used to know some of the more famous musicians back in the day, and we used to love to sit around and laugh and joke and talk. But when people begin to think that I'm all that and a bucket of fried chicken. See, I'm going beyond the chips. I'm going right to the source. I'm all that and a bucket of chicken with mashed potatoes and gravy and hallelujah. When you get to thinking that way, you're dangerous. When you get to thinking that way, you are dangerous, and you're trouble going somewhere to happen. And Paul wants the Ephesian church to realize that it is God and God alone. Now, he writes this letter. He writes this letter to the church at Ephesus, and he does all of that which I had shared earlier, those points that I had made, for one reason: to let them know it's time to get back to work. Are you listening? Yes, time to, we had a good time praising the Lord. We had a good time shouting. We had a good time thanking God for all He has done. And yes, He's worthy of all of the praise and so much more. But there's more work. that's awaiting all of us as believers. Are y'all still here? There's more work that is awaiting us as believers. And Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus, and he's saying to us, can I use a big word, vicariously. He's telling us, get back to work. Why? Because you see, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Amen. We're wrestling against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. You ever see folk that act all up and act foolish when you would expect that those persons were sane and those persons were sober, and yet even in the Church of Jesus Christ, we every now and then see folk that are acting all out of character. Why? Because the spirit of the adversary creeps up on anybody that he can possibly find in order to try to use them. Are you all still here? He tries to use them. If you don't believe me, I got some news for you. You remember when Jesus asked the question, and I shared it last night, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, they say that you're one of the prophets, or you're those who have come back. And then he says, but who do you say that I am? And then they just kind of dumbfounded and don't say a word. But then suddenly Peter's voice cracks the silence, and he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say now from this point on that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth, y'all ain't with me, will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. And then no sooner than Jesus speaks that very powerful and profound word about Peter, because he allowed the Lord to use him, then Jesus flips the script on them and tells them that he's going to be crucified. And Peter takes Jesus aside. Peter takes Jesus aside. Oh my God in heaven. Peter takes Jesus aside. You said upon this rock you're going to build your church. You said you're going to give me the keys to heaven, and whatever I bind on earth is going to be bound on in heaven, and whatever I loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. Well, Jesus, let me tell you something. What you just said ain't going to happen as long as I'm alive. I'm your ace man. If everybody else leaves you, I'm going to stay with you. We'll go down together if we go down at all. And Jesus looked at Peter, but he looked what motivated Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. You can be jumping and dancing, you can be speaking in tongues, and you can be doing all kind of things, but just as soon as you're born, the adversary can creep up on you and begin to use you. Oh, I've seen it. Oh, I've seen it. You don't believe me? You step on somebody's toe and watch them get used. I'm going to move on. Hallelujah. Yep, it's time to go to work. It's time to keep our focus on God. It's time to put away the trivial things of life. And I'm not saying that we ought not celebrate what God has done, because he's done a whole lot. Oh, yes, he has. He's done a whole lot. He placed his vision in one man's heart, and these are the results. Are y'all listening to me? These are the results. There are some folk who weren't saved that are saved now because this man said, yes, Lord. There are some folk who are walking in the light and not walking in darkness, because this man said, yes, Lord, he brought you from a mighty long way. How do I know? Well, rather than just hearing the report, I observe close and real up front. And then from a distance, I also began to realize what God was doing because somebody said yes. Look at you, what God has done. God has given you your own property. And let me tell you something, in Springfield, that ain't easy. No. God has given you someone who has a heart after him, who loves God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, and with all of his strength. And he loves his wife just like he loves himself. You mind if I preach a little bit? I'm starting to feel the anointing show enough on me now. It is not that which we see in front of us with our naked eye, but it's what we can't see. This man had a promising career, and God used him in that area. This man could have been anywhere, could have done anything, because he has the smarts, the intelligence, and the talent, but he put it all aside just to say, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. He could have been on the road playing the organ. He could have had an entourage following him. He could have become more in the court system and could have been large and in charge. But he put it all aside just to say, yes, Lord. God asked him, I'm paraphrasing, do you trust me? God asked him, do you trust me? Do you believe me? And let me tell you something, to say yes, Lord, in that kind of a situation isn't always easy. But when you look at the rewards, when you look at the glimpse of the blessing just over the horizon, when you see just a glimmer of what God has in store for you, you begin to walk by faith. You begin to walk by faith. You begin to say, I don't understand it all, but I'm going to trust you anyhow. I can't see it all, but I'm going to trust you anyhow. I don't know it all, but I'm going to trust you anyhow. And when you step out on faith, look what God has done. Oh, I wish that I had time to talk about it. But I just want to encourage your heart, because there are greater things ahead. Now, how is we going to get there? Yeah. I love wrecking the language. I just do. I approach the language like I approach my music. I've got a brother who is a more classic oriented person, and I went to Berkeley. So I love just messing with chords. So that's why I said, what is we gonna do? Amen. That was my augmented. Okay, my augmented chord. See, where is he? That was my sharp 11. Okay, all right. Sharp 11 when we get going. Can you tell I'm having fun? Yeah, all right. What are we going to do? Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. I wonder why he said above all. Because he was looking at a Roman soldier. He was looking at the armor of the Roman soldier. He saw them every single day and said, how in the world can I begin to convey this message to let them know how important it is? He looked at the Roman soldier and he saw the various pieces of armament. He talked about the breastplate of righteousness, and everyone ought to be in right standing with God. He talked about the helmet of salvation, which means that your mind ought to always be stayed upon Jesus. He talked about having your feet covered with the preparation of the gospel of peace, which means that everywhere you walk, peace ought to go along with you. He talked about having your loins girt about with truth, because the loins are the area where we reproduce, and we ought to reproduce truth. Are y'all still here? He said that we ought to have the sword of the Spirit, which means that we should be able to confront the adversary and all of his lies, because the devil is a liar. We should be able to confront all of his lies and all of his falsehoods with the word of God. But Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Why did he say that? Well, real quick, the Roman soldiers, whenever they went into battle, they would soak their shields in water. Are y'all still with me? Because the shield was covered with leather, and leather is very porous. So after having soaked their shields in water all night long, when they went into battle, knowing that the enemy was going to be shooting arrows at them, every single time that an arrow would hit the shield of a Roman soldier, it would be extinguished. Not because of the power of the shield itself, but because it had been soaked in water. Well, if you understand where I'm going with this, you will understand that water is emblematic of the Spirit of God. Yeah, water is emblematic of this and symbolic of the Spirit, the Ruah of God. And every time the devil shoots something at you, Paul is saying, if you can't remember that you're righteous, if you can't remember a single scripture, if you can't remember to walk in peace, if you can't remember to have your loins girt about with truth, and maybe your sword is a bit too heavy to try to pick up, if you can just get down behind your shield of faith and you can just cower behind the shield of faith, you are protected by the Spirit of God, and no devil in hell can get you as long as you have your shield of faith. Hallelujah! 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 It's time for me now to bring it home. It's time to bring it home, because you see the underlying message that Paul is giving to us, and you got to read real close in order to see it. It says that no matter what it is that you come up against, that God's not going to leave you by yourself. No matter what you come up against, God is not going to leave you alone. And the message that goes behind Ephesians, Paul lets you know something about himself. Paul was a praiser. Y'all didn't hear that. Paul was a praiser. That's why he would say, I thank my God in my every remembrance of you. I praise my God every time I think about you. I give God glory and I give God honor every time I think about what he has done in your life. What he has done for you gives me joy. What he has done for you gives me encouragement. What he has done for you inspires me. Solid rock! Let me tell you something. When I think of what God has done for you, it makes me happy down on the inside. When I think about what God has done, it gets me all excited way down in my sanctified soul. When I think about what God has done, it inspires me. It makes me want to continue to run on and see what the end is going to be. Paul was a praiser, and all you have to do is make sure to keep the faith. Make sure to never cease to pray. Make sure to walk upright morning, noon, day, and night. And don't let anything or anybody take away your praise. Y'all didn't hear that. Don't let anything or anybody take away your praise. All the things that I mentioned about Solid Rock earlier pale in comparison, because this is a praising church. Are y'all with me? This is a praising church. This is a church that doesn't mind giving God glory, that doesn't mind giving God honor, doesn't mind lifting him up, doesn't mind praising his name, doesn't mind letting people know, for God I'll live and for God I'll die. You can take this whole world. It doesn't matter to me. Just give me Jesus. That's what we're saying here. I'm going to praise him all the days of my life. I'm going to honor him all the days of my life. Because you see, when you praise God, you get God all excited. You didn't know that God got excited? Let me tell you something. When you praise God, the word says that he gets up off of his throne. I said he gets up off of his throne, and he stands at attention when his people praise him. It's not the praise of the angels, it's not the praise of the cherubim, and not the praise of the seraphim, but it's the praise of those that he has created in his own image and after his likeness. When we praise him, we're doing something that the angels just can't do, because you see, we don't praise him out of obligation. We don't praise him because we're forced to. We don't praise him out of duress. Well, maybe you do, but I sure don't. We praise him. I praise him. You praise him because we want to. Yeah, 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 yeah. So while we're working and while we're toiling, while we're doing that which he has called us to do, remember, like the old folk used to say, we are soldiers in the army. We've got to fight, although we have to cry. We've got to hold up the blood-stained banner. We've got to hold it up. We've got to hold it up. We got to hold it up until we die. Hey, 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 hey. Oh, bless his name. Oh, bless his name. Oh, bless his name. I can't help but praise him. He's done so much for me that I couldn't begin to tell it all. And I gotta praise him because I'm grateful. And my main praise is hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Get back to work.